You've got your Bible. I want you to open to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. You know, we're going to look, and this morning you heard the Christmas story read and performed and demonstrated in so many different ways. And I'm not sure that I've seen a teenage rendition of the Christmas story and the realities of our culture that we live in more so than what I saw today in this Family Feud example. And I know that most of you were like, well, it's got to end happily ever after. Well, it's got to be Jesus has got to be up there somewhere. That's not the world in which we live. It's not the world in which we live. And so today I'd like to talk to you about Luke chapter 2 and a familiar story, a very familiar story. You ever heard the phrase, familiarity breeds contempt? Anybody ever heard that before? This is a familiar story. Let me illustrate this way. How many of you fly in airplanes? Anybody fly quite often, or you've flown quite a few times in your life? I've flown quite a few times in my life as well. And you know, it's lost its grandeur. It's, you know, here's what I do. When I get on an airplane now, and I happen to have a window seat, the first thing that I will do when I get into the seat is I'll get comfortable, and I'll kick my shoes off, because, you know, your feet kind of swell on an airplane, and I'll wrap my jacket up, and I'll put it against the window, and I'll nuzzle back, and I'll make sure that I get the back of the armrest so the person next to me can have the front of the, nobody wants the front of the arm, you know what I'm talking about, but I want, you know what I'm saying? And so I get comfortable there, and I just close my eyes, and I try to catch some Z's. I try to get some sleep. And if you think about it, that's kind of crazy, because we're getting ready to go almost 5 miles up in the air, over 30,000 feet in the air, and we're in a metal tube that's traveling at over 500 miles per hour across the atmosphere. And what I do is I roll up my jacket, take off my shoes, lean against the window after I put the shade down, because I don't want the bright, and I try to go to sleep. And why is it, I mean, this should be an amazing experience to go 500 miles an hour, 5 miles an hour, 5 miles above the earth. That should be something that there should be a lot of wonder about. But instead, it's become very familiar for me. And so really what flying is it's really just a convenient way to get from point A to point B. And it's not about the travel, it's about how rapid I can get from point A to point B. I remember, though, the first time that Keely and I flew, my wife and I flew, first time I flew was when we were children's pastors many, many years ago, and we had to go to a conference in Nashville, and we were pastoring in Missouri, so we had to fly from Kansas City to Nashville. Now, you're talking about an hour flight. Not very, very long at all. But to me, it was going to be amazing. And so I was giddy is what I was as a young adult in the airplane or in the airport, just Keely and I. And the lady, as we were at the gate, took note of that. In fact, she called us to the front. And so we went to the counter and she said, "This is your first time flying?" "Yes, how'd you know?" She just could pick up on it, right? Because I'm so excited. She's like, "Well, we've got room, so I'm going to upgrade you to first class." I know. So we got to fly first class from Kansas City to Nashville. I mean, we were in these nice leather chairs, kind of reclined chairs. They gave us these little turkey sandwiches, you know what I'm talking about, with no crust on them, just dainty little things. And then they gave us a hot, wet towel at the end to clean our hands up with, wipe our face with. "Would you like anything to drink?" Of course I would like something to drink. Diet Cokes all around, right? And I'm enjoying this time on the plane. And it was amazing. I'm looking out the window and just, it's amazing. After we did a conference that we were there for, we flew home. Unfortunately, the person at the terminal in Nashville wasn't quite as kind, didn't look at me quite as whatever. And we didn't know that we were on one of those airlines that you just need to get on quickly so you can get a seat. So we were the last ones to get on. I didn't know. And the only seats left on the way back were certainly in coach, which is where we're at, but they were ones that faced backwards, not faced forwards. I don't know why that is, but it is so uncomfortable to fly facing backwards, because, you know, when you take off on an airplane, normally you push back in your seat. Yeah, and I'm doing a half crunch backwards, trying to hold myself up, but seemed like the whole flight. It was, so I didn't enjoy that flight as much. All I'm saying is that was a memorable experience for me. It was my first time flying. But since then, it's overly familiar to me. And I guess I'd like to say this. If I'm completely transparent with you, New Life Church, church family, guests that are here, if I'm going to be honest with folks listening by podcast and all of you listening on live stream, I don't very much like to preach Christmas messages. It's not my favorite time of the year with regard to preaching. And I'm going to tell you why. It's because the story is so familiar that all too often people tune you out. It's because we're over familiar with this. I mean, I have counted over the last 25 years of ministry how many messages that I preached on Christmas, and I'm pretty sure it's over 100 individual unique messages about the Christmas story. Now, I don't know if you know, but what we try to do in ministry is we try not to duplicate the messages. Now, I have to preach the same message three times on the weekends because we have different gatherings and stuff, but after that, we try not to preach them again unless it's requested to preach it somewhere else. So every year, you're trying to come up with something fresh and unique about the Christmas story, and quite often, I mean, you're doing it from Joseph's perspective and Mary's perspective, the angel's perspective, and the donkey's perspective. I don't know, but you try to come up with something fresh because it's over familiar, and we tune out the message because we know the story. That's not what I want for Christmas this season, and that's not what I want for you. So my prayer is, Lord, would you give us a fresh vision of the amazing miracle of the gift of your son born in a feeding trough in an obscure village in the nation of Israel some 2,000 years ago. So taking things for granted for us can be true of almost anything in our lives. You can see something so much that you don't see it anymore. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I mean, at your house, you don't notice the project that you started 6.5 years ago anymore because you abandoned the project because something else happened and you don't notice it. The people who do notice it are people who have fresh eyes that come into your house. And we do this all the time at the church. We ask for people to give us fresh eyes because we're here all the time. We want to make sure that we're not ignoring something that is important. Because when you have guests come into your house, you try to make it look nice. Can you say amen? Yes? Fresh eyes matter. And so the fresh eyes of the Christmas story really matter to us as well. What unfortunately happens is what used to inspire us now leaves us feeling kind of indifferent. What used to be the good news now ends up becoming the old news. And here's what I believe. I believe the greatest threat to Christianity may be that Christians, Christ followers, are no longer astonished and amazed about what Jesus Christ has done for us. The greatest threat to Christianity is that we believe the Christmas story, but we may not be amazed by what it means anymore. We believe that the Bible is God's word, but we have a hard time reading it because, well, you know, we've got to make sure we stay up on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. We've got to do those things or we're social outcasts. And we believe that going to church is the responsible thing for us to do. But, you know, with all the demands in life, it can be really difficult. And, you know, I'll get around to it. We believe that the Christmas story is true, but we're no longer excited about it. My prayer is that God would do for us what he did for the shepherds some 2,000 years ago, that the wonder of Christmas would return to us again, that this year Christmas would be surprisingly beautiful, that it would catch us off guard. So let's look at Luke chapter 2 as I want to show you one side of a coin, because every coin has two sides. And the one side of the coin is what I'm calling the wonder of Christmas. Luke chapter 2, verse number 8, you've heard it read already, but I'm going to review it with you. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. They weren't hanging out, they weren't visiting, didn't punch their time card, and they're out there for an 8-hour shift, and then they're going home. They were living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Let me tell you, being a shepherd was a boring and a predictable job. It wasn't a fun job. Nothing really changed from day to day. By the way, some of you understand what that means. Some of you go through your life, and it seems like your life is boring and it's very, very predictable. The latest research I shared with somebody earlier this week, the latest research that I read this past week was that, get this, of people who are employed in the United States of America, 80% of people who are employed are currently dissatisfied and unhappy with the job that they have. Sounds like a nation full of shepherds to me. I mean, shepherds, all they do is watch the sheep. You know, go. We took our grandchildren to the zoo earlier this year, Sacramento Zoo. And you don't go into the gates and see the attendant that's there and be like, dude, where are the sheep, right? No, you'll never hear that ever said at a zoo, right? Where are the sheep at? You're asking for the lions and you're asking for the tigers and maybe even the reptiles. And you want to go see those. You know, nobody wants to watch sheep. There are even bird watching clubs that are out there. People get together. I don't know what kind of people these are, but they get together and they watch birds. I don't know how that works, but they enjoy watching birds. It's creepy to me, but they watch birds. Fine, to each his own. Everybody has an enjoyment. You never, ever, ever, ever will hear of a sheep watching club. They're not getting together to watch sheep in the field. If you have a friend that says to you, hey, dude, let's go watch some sheep. You need a new friend is what you need. Get rid of that friend because they're creepy, right? Nobody watches. Sheep aren't fun to watch. And these shepherds, all they do is watch sheep. But in the middle of their very predictable life, something happens. Jesus is born. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. I'd be freaked out too. Wouldn't you be? But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that would be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God the highest on earth, peace, goodwill to men, on whom his favor rests. And, you know, all of a sudden, these shepherds now have purpose and they have a mission to their existence. And because of Jesus Christ, so do you. So do I. The shepherds began doing two things. As soon as they heard this message from the angelic beings, they began to tell people about Jesus and they began to worship the Lord. If we were to put a job description together for every follower of Jesus Christ on the planet, it would probably be the same job description that the shepherds exemplified here in Luke chapter 2. We are created to tell people about Jesus and to worship the Lord. Can someone say amen? That's what we should be using our existence, our energy, our strength, our time for. And then in Luke chapter 15, or Luke chapter 2, verse number 15, just one verse. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem to see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. I don't know about that, because if I just was out in a field with, I see my fellow shepherd down there 400 or 500 yards, and another fellow shepherd over there 400 or 500, 600 yards, and back there and the same, and all of a sudden these angels show up, and the sky is lit up, and they're making this proclamation that to you in the town of David, a Savior has been born, and then all of these hosts of angels show up all over the place, like a choir of angels all around us in the heavenlies, and then they just zapped away. I'm not sure. The first thing that I would say is, well, let's go, right? I probably would be like, dude, did you see that, right? I'd probably have a conversation of, I don't know. I'd be really, really scared. But they didn't respond in a way that maybe most of us would respond. Because when we see something glorious or miraculous, that has to be God, has to be the Lord. All too often what we do is we go, that was awesome. And then we go back to work. But the shepherds changed their entire lives. I mean, when Jesus was born, it changed everything. They didn't say, let's go back to work again. Instead, they said, let's go check it out. Let's go see what this is all about. The word see. I looked at that word see. Let's go see. I looked that word up this week, and I discovered that that word see means the following. It means to ponder, to stare at intently, and to closely examine. See, the word see means to, I think we should do that at Christmas time. We should ponder about the wonder of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We should be in staring intently at Jesus, not only in the manger, but Jesus on the cross. We should closely examine this Christmas season with the wonder of God's word. I think that's what we should do this Christmas season. But for some of you, that's that side of the coin, the wonder side of the coin. It's not possible. It feels impossible. I mean, why? Because on the other side of the coin is the category, the title that I would say is discouragement. And you're so discouraged that it seems impossible to flip the coin. You're living on the wrong side of the coin. You're living on the enemy's side of the coin. See, if he can get you discouraged so that you're apathetic, you don't care, there's no wonder left in Christmas. It's just, can we just get through this season, for heaven's sakes? This is just driving me crazy. If you see only the negative of this season, then you're on the side of discouragement. And it's not God's will that you should spend your time there. It's easy to focus on ourselves, isn't it? It's easy to focus on our needs and our wants and our pain and our struggles. And the shepherds, they could have easily felt discouraged. Why? Because shepherding is not what anybody sets out to do. Nobody wants to be a shepherd. If you asked any young Palestinian lad in those days, hey, dude, what do you want to be when you grow up? He would never have said, a shepherd. That would have been the last thing. Listen, this is the lowest rung on the socioeconomic, social status of the culture of that day. It's below prostitute. It's that low. A shepherd wasn't allowed even to go into the temple. You couldn't come and worship God. You were forbidden because you were unclean. And I'm not just talking about like physically. You were like spiritually unclean because you held that job. You weren't allowed to be a witness in the court of law because your word didn't matter, because you were a shepherd. Shepherds were known as people who stink. In the King James, stinketh. they didn't smell very good at all. And as I thought about that, this was in a day and an age and an era that there was no such thing as Axe body spray. There was no such thing as toothpaste. There was not even such a thing as soap. There was no deodorant. And those, are you all following me? It was a stinketh culture in that time is what it was. And if those people who were ripe, right, said that the shepherds smell bad, there's something really potent. There's a funk in the atmosphere. You know what I'm talking about, yes? Yeah, those of you who have teenagers, teenage boys especially, you understand what I'm talking about. So they didn't smell very good. Nobody wanted to be a shepherd. In fact, if you were a shepherd in those days, somebody says, hey, dude, you got a business card, and you pull out your business card, you probably want a different title on the card than shepherd. I was reading an article, and I discovered that in our modern culture today that there are many businesses and different industries that are trying to change the title of jobs so that it will attract more people to take those jobs, those positions. There's a whole list of them, but I'll share a couple with you because I think it's fun. A dishwasher, they're now calling a cleansing operative. Isn't that cool? Hey, this one's really good. A window cleaner is a vision clearance engineer. Isn't that awesome? So I said, well, Lord, what could a shepherd be? If they were to have a business card, what would they be? So this is what I came up with. I wrote down a pre-textile security agent. I thought it was hilarious. It was great. Maybe you can relate a little bit to the shepherds. You feel stuck. They were stuck. You feel stuck in a job. You feel stuck maybe even in your marriage currently, in a relationship. You feel stuck. You're at a rut in your life. Things just haven't turned out the way that you wanted them to turn out, the way that you thought they should turn out, the way that you felt that they should turn out. The story hasn't unfolded like you had hoped the story of your life would unfold. The shepherds weren't making much of a difference. They probably didn't feel like they were making much of a difference. That would be very discouraging to me. I want to make a difference with my life. I want my life to count for something. I'm sure that you want your life to count for something as well. I've been with several people as they pass from this life to the next life, and not one person has ever said, man, I'm so glad I got all this stuff that my children and grandchildren are going to fight over, and it's going to destroy our family because they want all the, are you following me? But everybody wants to leave a legacy. Everybody wants to make a difference. These shepherds didn't have any special skills. See, shepherds were orphaned boys Boys that had no parents, no moms, no dads, nobody to be able to prepare them or to speak value into their lives. And so these orphan boys had no skills, no education, no parents, no direction, no resources. So they got the only job they could possibly get in all of society, and that was becoming a shepherd. Which, by the way, isn't it pretty awesome that our great and glorious God chose the lowest of the low of all of humanity to do the grand introduction of our Lord and Savior? It's just a powerful thing to me. Yet what I know is about the shepherds is what I know about you, is what I know about me. We want to make a difference. We want to have an impact. We want our life to count for something. But the shepherds, they didn't feel like that. They felt discouraged, and I have a feeling that there are more than one person in this room today that's living on this side of the coin. You feel discouraged. You feel like your life isn't counting for something. You're not making a difference. You're not having an impact. You feel discouraged. And so this Christmas, I want you to flip the coin. I want you to quit living on the discouraged side, and let's flip it over to live on the wonder side of the coin. And you're like, Troy, sounds awesome. Make a great bumper sticker, but how do I do that? Well, let me tell you how you do that. There's really only one way you can. You got to take yourself out of the center of the picture. You see, you're living your life revolving around you, and that's not God's plan for you. Your life doesn't revolve around you. Your life revolves around Him. You were created for Him. God was not created for you. God was not created. He always was, and He always will be. So this Christmas, we need to experience the wonder. And let me show you how that looks in the last few verses of Luke chapter 2, 16 through 20. So they, speaking of the shepherds, hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard, they had seen, which were just as they had been told. They go and they see the baby Jesus, and what do? They worship God and they tell everybody else about him. They worship God and they tell everybody else about him. They didn't go see the baby Jesus and say, baby Jesus, I'm frustrated. Baby Jesus, I'm discouraged. Baby Jesus, I've got lack in my life. I've got loneliness in my life. I'm experiencing difficulties in my life. They set themselves out of the picture and they focus their worship, their praise, their concentration, their adoration, their love on Jesus Christ, and then sharing him with everybody around them. Listen, I got good news for you this morning of great joy. Unto us, a Savior has been born this Christmas season. And that news changes everything. It changes everything. Everything. The birth of Jesus changes everything. It gives us hope, gives us life, gives us purpose, gives us direction, and the birth of Jesus Christ gives us grace. The unmerited favor of Almighty God, forgiveness when you don't deserve it. What we deserve is the devil's hell, but what God gives to us is freedom and forgiveness and eternal life. That's why we celebrate the birth of the baby in the manger some 2,000 years ago, because we've got victory, we've got life, we've got hope, we've got strength, we've got power, we've got anointing. We have freedom is what we have. Without it, there would be no hope. There'd be no forgiveness. We would be lost in this life, and we'd be lost in the life that is to come. I don't know what side of the coin you're living on, but I know some of y'all's story, and you're living in discouragement. And it is my prayer that you would quit focusing on yourself and focus on God, the author and the perfecter, the finisher of your faith, and see if God won't come through for you as he promised that he would do. Can someone say amen? Amen. Quit living on that side of the coin. And who has the power to flip the coin? You do. It's called the power of choice. I can live discouraged or I can live in wonder. And it's my prayer that you would live. How are you gonna, I double dog dare you. I throw down the gauntlet. I draw a line in the sand. If I had white gloves, I'd take them off and I'd slap you twice across the face and challenge you to a duel. You know what I'm saying? This is what I dare you. Are you ready for this? I want you to experience the wonder of Christmas. So I'm going to interrupt your previously planned agenda. And I'm going to challenge you to be here a week from Monday on Christmas Eve. And it's 6 to 7. Now, in all the years I've been lead pastoring, we've never, ever gone over that time. And we're going to honor that this year, not because we're trying to regulate God, but because we're trying to honor your families and honor God all at the same time. You see, when the youth did this, I know you were thinking, surely there's got to be a ding for Jesus, as we talked about. But this was one of the most real, authentic, dramatic presentations I have ever seen. And I'm telling you, this is, yeah, I think we should give it up for the teenagers. I think they did a great job. But people who live in discouragement, people who are living on the wrong side of the coin, yeah, this is where you're living. Because you're putting all your hope and confidence and trust in things that will give you false joy. Gifts and parties and celebrations. And I'm challenging you to put your hope and confidence and trust in Jesus Christ. When you do that, then this has so much more meaning. And it lasts so much longer. But when this is all you do, it's like pulling into a gas station, looking up at the bright lights above you, looking around at all the people that are going in and buying snacks and miscellaneous things, and people pumping gas around, just kind of looking around and saying, this is fantastic. And then getting back in your car and leaving. What kind of a nut job goes to a gas station and doesn't fill their car up unless, of course, they forget their money? You know what I'm talking about? Yes? Right? I mean, I was even next at a gas station next to a teenage girl not too long ago, and she did that. She, like, forgot her money, and she lived in Ripon, and I said, you look like you're stressed. I'm not a creepoid. I'm going to stay back here, but do you need some help? She's like, I don't need help. I don't have any money. My dad's at work and my mom and came back. I don't know what to do. Why don't you step back and let me approach the thing, the pump, and I'll put my card in, I'll put my PIN in, and you put some gas in your car. She's like, oh my God, thank you. I say, you're welcome, but just step back, because I didn't want her to be like creeped out, and I didn't want to, you know what I'm saying? So step back, put it in there, and then I was pumping my gas, and she hollers over, sir! He said, yes. She said, how much should I put in? I said, fill it up, sweetheart, just fill it up, because I'm a dad too, and one day somebody's going to do this for me, you know what I'm talking about? And so that's where we go to gas. How do you go to a gas station without your money? And we all make mistakes, right? But why would you intentionally, why'd you come to the filling station today? Because you need to get filled up, baby. Because you're looking at the coin from the wrong side. And if you're here today and you think you're here today just for the kids, surprise. We didn't. God did. God set you up. That's a wonderful thing. Because for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. That whoever, and that's me, shepherds included, whoever believes in him will not perish, will not die, but will have everlasting, eternal life. I don't think that we could preach a message any better than what our toddlers and our preschool kids did up here when they recited that verse. So, a double dog dare you to be here Christmas Eve. Go about your family. Say, if you're like, we've got plans, guess what you should say? Stand up, put on your big boy bloomers, and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I invite you to come with me for an hour. Surely we can delay our potluck for an hour. Surely we can wait. The kids can wait a few more minutes because we're going to come and make sure Christmas is about Jesus. Because I'm going to engage the wonder of my Lord instead of being in my own discouragement. Can you receive that? I'm so proud of you, and I'm so proud of your kids. But I'm as a dad, and now as a grandpa, and my little, I was just utterly proud of them. My little grandson up here in his first Christmas program, and we've got 2 grandbabies and one on the way, and life is good. We're riding the crest of the wave, you know what I'm talking about? It's just surfs up, dude. We're just loving life. But on Friday, before I came Friday night to a great Christmas recital, and we watched our kids do all kinds of things with a packed out audience. And before the kids had Christmas program practice yesterday, and before the kids showed up at the crack of dawn this morning, and they practiced, and your parents encouraged them, we said goodbye to a 19-year-old and a 20-year-old brothers who died in a car accident from our South Stockton campus. And there is something about the brevity of life that God doesn't promise us another day. God doesn't promise us another breath. And so in the midst of this Christmas season, the one who gave you life, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. I challenge you to remember that this life is short, and what we invest our time, energy, talents, resources, hope, and faith and trust in needs to be something of significance, not something of insignificance. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this time together. God, I am so proud. I am so proud of these kids. Many of whom were born in this church and were dedicated in this church, and many of whom have grown up, and this is the church they know, and their parents are rearing them in the home family church. And I'm proud of our teens, many of whom were little kids when we started this church, and they've grown up, and now they're in the youth group, and they're leading the way, and they've got courage. And there's an anointing upon the children and the next generation here at New Life Church, and we're so grateful for that, God. So, Lord, we celebrate not the performance, but we celebrate the ministry that took place on this platform today. And, Lord, we also celebrate the fact that you set us up. You set us up to hear that the grace of God is real, that the wonder of Christmas, man, that should just bring about joy and praise from our lips. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed and no one looking around, I got to ask the question. Maybe you're here today and you're discouraged. You're discouraged. There's an area of your life that you're discouraged. You don't want to be discouraged. You really do want to celebrate the wonder of God. But you really are struggling. And God doesn't want to leave you that way. God loves you too much. That's why God instructed me to share this message at this time in this format. And he orchestrated your steps to be here today so that he could tell you, I've got you. Your grip may have gotten weak, but my grip has never been stronger. I will never let go of you. I am a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Even though you go through the valley of the shadow of death, I am with you. I will lead you. I will never stop caring about you. So it's time to flip the coin. It's time for you to quit being discouraged. And it's time for you to embrace the wonder of Jesus Christ. Now, you might already know Jesus, but you know, if you don't, it's time to embrace Jesus. And if you do know Jesus, I mean, you've received him and said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Come into my life. If you've done that, but you still are discouraged in areas of your life, it's not God's plan. God doesn't want you to be discouraged. That is a tool of the enemy. You see, that's why you can have joy, as I saw on Friday. A joy on a mom and dad, even though tears are streaming down their face, because they know in whom they believe. And in whom they have confidence, and in whom they have trust. And so I'm challenging you, I'm asking you right now, if you're discouraged and you want God to set you free, you want God to help you, you want God to relieve you, and you're ready to say, Lord, I'm flipping the coin. I choose to take myself out of the picture. I choose to embrace the wonder this Christmas season. If you would confess to God and say, I've been selfish, then I don't want to be. I want to be a 2.0 version of me. If you're ready for that, all eyes are closed, heads are bowed, nobody looking around, don't want to embarrass anybody. All I want you to do is just say, that's me, by putting your hand up and put it right back down again. Come on now, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hands up all over the place. Come on now, this is your chance. I'm discouraged. I don't want to be discouraged anymore. Put it up and put it back down again. I want to live a life of freedom. I want to live a life of wonder. And no longer am I going to allow the enemy to have a foothold in my life. I choose this day that I will serve the Lord. That I will not look and see me anymore, but instead I will focus on my Savior. Father, I pray for those many people who put their hands up. We ask that the grace of God would abound, strengthen, would encourage, and God, that you would bring about a deliverance that's so powerful that that coin would flip over immediately. And in the wonder of Jesus at this Christmas season, and that's where we would live. That's the sweet spot of life in the next few days. God, we thank you for that right now. In the holy, awesome, anointed, powerful, gracious name of Jesus Christ. If you agree, say amen and give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Can you do that? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, we love you. If you don't have a home church, buddy, you got one now. Because we love people here at New Life, and we want you to embrace. And so if you're a guest, even if you're from a distance, we have a gift for you. Back at the Connect Corner back there, there's a gift things, and we want to be able to share some things with you. And so if you'll meet back there after the gathering is over, Pastor Trin would meet you. And we'd love to be able to just kind of connect with you a little bit. We're not going to show up on your doorstep. We're not going to be weird, but we are going to pray for you because we're grateful to be able to have the opportunity to be introduced to quality people such as yourselves, right? And you just make us better. Can someone say amen, right? Yes? So we're glad about that. And if you're regular here at New Life, thank you for being faithful. And I cannot tell you how proud of you that I am. I had a dear, sweet sister in our church come up to me and say, there's something happening at New Life this weekend because it's just a powerful, powerful, like, I don't know what else to call it, spirit, atmosphere in the place. Friday night, Saturday, this morning, it's just great stuff. So thanks for being a part. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. May he give you rest. And may he give you peace. God bless you, New Life Church. You have a great Sunday. Y'all are dismissed. Amen, amen, amen.